a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, sports fans, welcome back to Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone. Scott Mitchell, also known as Billy Mitchell, and of course, Scotty G, who's filling in for Alex Keery, who's away for a few days and resting, recuperating.
Well deserved as well.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Hey, guys. Minky Couture wants to help you this holiday season with the perfect gift. Stop by any location from Ogden to St. George today. Mention Zone 50 and save 50%. Look, this is a no-brainer, guys. Get it today, save 50%, and get the best gift ever from Minky Couture. Okay. Scotty G.
Yes, sir.
I asked Mario Cristobal, right? Pac-12 Media Days, like, you have a target on your back because you guys have established yourself as the best program in the Pac-12. And he had none of it, right? He didn't want to talk to me about it. He didn't want to see anything. And we're broadcasting the game, and I go, something's not right here. This isn't the Oregon team. This isn't the mantra, the culture that, like, this team quit. This team quit the first game. This team's quit again. You talk to some of the players from Utah, and they're like, this was kind of a soft Oregon team. So this isn't – so Mario Cristobal, boom, he's out, right? So here's my question. Is him leaving – does that open the door? And does that change recruiting? Does it change these guys who are you know, local guys here from Utah? And there's like five or six guys. There's five guys in there. And they played high school football here. Great players, and some of them done very well at Oregon. Is there any chance that they come back?
I think there's a high chance. Now, let's be honest here. It could get a lot worse if Kalani Sitake takes the Oregon job. Then the state of Utah's in a whole lot of trouble.
Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, okay. I think you have to. Like, honestly, you owe it to your family. You owe it to your assistants. If a school that has that kind of budget and is offering you that kind of money, you have to at least listen to it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just be like, no, I'm a member of the faith and BYU wants me here and I want to be here. Let's go. I mean, no. I mean, I don't care if you're an accountant. I don't care if you're a sports radio host. I don't care if you're a head football coach. You've got to explore those opportunities. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to your family and those around you to explore it. Now, would Kalani take it? I don't know. I mean, we all have our number, right? Like, Kalani may love BYU, but if they're paying him, just throwing out a round number, they're paying him $2 million, and Phil Knight comes into a room and says, I'm going to give you $7 million. Like, okay, where do I sign? Like, I don't know what that number is, but we all have it, and I don't know what it would be for Kalani. But if he does take it, then all of a sudden the state of Utah is on notice because Kalani's coming, and he's coming for all your recruits, and he's bringing all of them to the Pacific Northwest.
So is Oregon, since we're talking about this, because I want to talk about the players and what that looks like, but is Oregon like USC, where because you're talking about Kalani, and I'm like, is he the name enough? You know, would he be recognizable? Would he be, is it enough flash? Because Lincoln Riley at USC, personally, I think it was brilliant.
I do too.
By USC. I mean, it was like, I don't know that there's another coach in college football that they could have handpicked better.
If you can't get Urban, that's your next best hit.
Yeah. There. I mean, it really is. And I think it was smart on Lincoln Riley's part to leave Oklahoma. I mean, because the Pac-12, like, think about it right now. The best team in the Pac-12 is Utah. No offense to Utah, but like there's nobody else. I mean, there's. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking Washington State, maybe. I mean, like who's the closest? I don't know. But is Kalani Sitake sexy enough for Oregon, or does Oregon have to get that sexy pick? Because it is Phil Knight, and it is, we have a uniform change at halftime. Like it's so flashy and so hip, and so, and I'm not saying Kalani isn't, but is he that sexy pick? And if not, who is that guy out there that potentially could be the guy?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if that guy really exists for Oregon.
So it's a unicorn.
At least at this point. So yeah, I think your best bet if you're Oregon is, I mean, look at the people that John Wilner, who I think is fairly in the know when it comes to these things. He's listed off Justin Wilcox at Cal.
Right.
Well, that's not sexy.
Right.
Especially seeing what he's done at Cal.
Right.
Chip Kelly, who the shine seems to be off of that. I mean, he's been fine and got things going a little bit at UCLA.
Retread.
But he's a retread. And then also, the rest of college football is caught up to a scheme. So I don't know if he's going to have that kind of impact. Let's see, who else is he thrown out there? Like Kalani Sitake? And then there's nobody out there like, ooh, wow, you got to get Kalani, that guy.
Kalani was high on the list, or at least the odds in Vegas or wherever.
Second highest.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, if I'm Oregon, Kalani might be, of all that group, Kalani's bringing the biggest flash out of all of them.
All right. So, if you're a player at Oregon.
Yeah.
And because right now they kind of have an interim coach, I guess, through the bowl game. But what would it take for you to leave? I mean, is it? It just feels like all of a sudden the wind just got taken out of Oregon. It really does.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, Kalani would be a great hire. And I actually like Justin Wilcox. I think a lot of what, you know, Cal's a tough place to be. I'm just curious. Would Kalani be a sexy enough pick for these guys to stay?
All right, so as far as the in-state guys go, yeah, absolutely. You know, in terms of your previous question, would in-state guys come back to Utah? I think if Kalani Sitake's there, the answer to that is no. Your other players that are on Oregon that have no clue who BYU or Kalani Sitake is, it might be a question there. But I wouldn't – I've heard enough, talked to enough parents that have had Kalani Sitake in their living room recruiting their kids. I don't think it would take long for Kalani to win that locker room over, and I don't think it would take Kalani long to win over potential Oregon recruits. Like, I think he fixes that pretty quick.
I think if you're out looking for a coach, I don't know why you wouldn't want Kalani.
I know.
Personally, because I agree. I think he's done a phenomenal job recruiting at BYU, and with the limitations that are there, I think he's done a phenomenal job of putting together a culture. Because early on it was kind of sketchy and questionable, and he really matured and grew up as a coach and put together a staff and a culture, and I believe a lot of it was how they recruited and how they changed how they recruited that caused this to happen. And so, yeah, I would think that would be fascinating.
Well, I had one person describe Kalani in terms of whatever he needs to do on a recruit, and whatever that kid is dialed in on, he will be dialed in on. So he can go in one night, go see a kid and talk to the kid about the latest Drake album. And then the next kid, he can go down and break down Russell Nilsson's last conference talk. Like, whatever he needs to do, he does it, and he's well-versed in all of it, and he'll be just fine doing it. And so at this point, if I'm Oregon, frankly, now the question is, would Kalani want it and would Kalani take it? I can't answer that, but I would say if I'm Oregon, he's one of the first three dudes I call, and I have a hard time probably when I get him in that room not wanting to offer that job. Now, again, I'm not saying he's gone. I don't know. But it makes too much sense, honestly.
If you're Tom Homo, what would it take? I mean, because he's got to be. Do you think he's nervous? Do you think, because it feels like Kalani's name keeps getting mentioned at a lot of these places. And does the Big 12? Well, do you think that Tom Homo's nervous? Do they want to lose Kalani?
Well, if I'm Tom Homo, I'm extremely nervous. Now, when Bronco left, I don't think they were too brokenhearted. I think it was probably good for both those guys to go different ways. If I'm Tom right now, I'm extremely nervous. But let me ask you about this, because Hans brought this up on the show today, and I thought it was a really good point. When's the last time you've heard Kyle Whittingham associated with the job? Floated out there. Maybe USC a little bit when Clay Helton.
About 4 or 5 years ago, that was the only rumbling of any suggestion.
But here's a guy that's safe. He's got a huge track record. He wins games. He graduates kids. Like, Kyle Whittingham checks off every single box. And so I think there's been, anytime there's a major opening, I'm sure Kyle Whittingham or his agent have gotten a phone call, and they immediately say, no, we're happy here.
Yeah.
Or if they do, they say something to Mark Harlan, and he gives them an extension, which it seems like Harlan's first 3 years on the job, Kyle got an extension like every 6 months.
Right.
So it's not that he hasn't been approached. I guarantee Kyle's been approached, but Kyle knows he's got a great thing here, and he's very, very well compensated. He's what, top two or three in the Pac-12 in compensation? So they pay him his market value. BYU right now is not paying, by Big 12 standards, Kalani Sitake market value. And so if you're going to play big boy football and you've wanted forever to get in the Big 12 and you fought and you scratched and you clawed and you've done all this stuff to get in the Big 12 and you're finally there, well, guess what? This is the cost of doing business now. You never in a million years did you ever think you'd be paying a coach $5 million a year? Well, guess what? Pony up. You have to now. Because if you want to compete in this conference, that's the cost of being cost of doing business. No more of this, well, we're different here, and we look at it more of a calling, blah, blah. Right. No, you have to pay the man. And not only do you have to pay the man, but you have to have a assistant coaching pool that is on par. And I think that's what Kalani probably wants as much as anything, is because, number one, he wants to take care of Ituiaki and Aaron Roderick and see them get raises. But also, he knows if he can't afford to bring in or retain high-level coordinators, they're not going to win in the Big 12. So this is the cost of membership. And so if you're not willing to do that, then you should send a letter of resignation to the Big 12 and say, sorry, we're not coming because we can't do it. Either you're in or you're out. But if you're in, you got to act like it and you got to pay it.
I think one of the things that I appreciated about Utah was, look, we're not just happy being in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And that we're gonna invest in resources like you're talking about. You talk about the cost of doing business, the facilities, and just the upgrade, and they're really second to none. What they've done in the stadium renovations and what they've done with the coaches, there's no question about that. And that does pay off. It pays off big time. So I think that will be an interesting, I don't know, shift in the whole dynamic at BYU. Are you just happy being there, or are you really serious about being a contender? And I think these universities, I think all of them, it's the ones that really make that investment and see the value in it to do it. Stanford wins if the administration says we value our program, we want it to win. Notre Dame, the same thing. But when they don't, they suffer. And I hope that BYU will do that. I don't know what will happen, but I hope they do.
Well, and I don't think this is a Tom Homo thing. I think it's way above him. Like, I'm sure if it was up to him, he'd have the budget necessary to go out there and say, all right, Kalani, let's lock you down. Let's get you a 7-8 year contract at, $4.5 million or $5 million per, and let's go and let's do this thing. But it does feel like college football is going in a direction where, I mean, Brian Kelly's getting 10 plus million a year. Cristobal's getting 8 something. I mean, these guys are making 10, 12, 13 million dollars a year. And this is, it's an interesting shift. And you hope the rest of the rest of the world of college football can keep up. But these are some crazy numbers being thrown out there.
A lot of money in college football.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another break here. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone. We come back. We've got Evan Dudley the University of Alabama, Birmingham beat writer.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.